Is religious freedom in America at risk? Well, believe it or not, the answer is yes, despite our First Amendment. We're going to talk about that right now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Jeremy Dice. Jeremy Dice is with First Liberty Institute, formerly known as Liberty Institute. Jeremy, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
First of all, there's a book now called Undeniable. Tell us about that book, and I guess it's an annual publication of First Liberty.
That's right. Undeniable is our annual survey of religious hostility in America. A couple of years ago, we kind of heard from a lot of people saying, look, we're not quite sure that there actually is a threat to religious liberty in this country. I mean, come on, show me all the examples, they would say. And so we decided to look into that and make sure that that was, in fact, something that was a problem here. And what we found is that, indeed, there is a significant issue in this country where there are active cases of hostility towards religion in this country. And so we began to catalog those issues, and what resulted is our annual publication called Undeniable. And that has grown by leaps and bounds over the last couple of years. And it ranges from everything from a six-year-old little girl trying to say a prayer over her lunch at school and being told she couldn't, to a gentleman with two doctorates being fired from his job because of his work as a lay minister on the weekends. So there really can be no denying the fact that there is, in fact, hostility towards religion in this country, and our publication seems to prove that.
What is First Liberty?
First Liberty is a nationwide religious liberty law firm that is dedicated to defending religious liberty for all Americans.
Okay, it used to be called Liberty Institute. Now, why the name change?
We decided that we needed to maintain a real strong focus upon what it is that we do, and our name needed to reflect that. And all we do is protect our first liberty. We engage in religious freedom defense because that is our first liberty. And so now our name just matches what we do.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of times when people will talk about America's First Amendment, and they almost mean it as synonymous with free speech. Okay, the First Amendment, First Amendment, First Amendment. But they forget that the first liberty mentioned in the First Amendment is religious liberty.
That's right. Yeah, no, look, and the important thing about that is that if we were to lose our religious liberty, every dictator that has come onto power has always removed religious liberty as one of the first things that they've ever done in office, because they can't have a competitor. They can't have an equal or even a higher authority above them, because then people would have a duty to a higher being. But our founders recognized that implicit in our creation were the rights that were bestowed to us, not by government, but by our Creator, by God Himself. And because of that, the government even owes a duty to respecting the religious liberty, the conscience rights of every American. Religious conscience, as James Madison once put it, is duty towards God, duty towards our Creator. And that's why we must protect and defend religious liberty for all Americans.
Now, this publication, Undeniable, how many pages is it? Where can people get it? What would they find in it?
Well, it's a very lengthy document, and unfortunately, it's getting longer and longer. I was actually flipping through here the copy on my desk, and it's over 370 pages in length. So what you'll find there is story after story. And what we've done is not only provided you the title of the story, we've provided you a synopsis of what happened, but also a link or a reference to where you can go and find out more about that particular story. You'll find, for instance, a story about Dr. Eric Walsh in this book, where Dr. Walsh, who had his medical degree and then went on beyond that to get his doctorate in public health, first in his family to go to college and then let alone get all these advanced degrees. He was fired from his job in the Department of Public Health in Georgia because of some things that he said as a lay minister in his pulpit on the weekends. You can find out stories about, like, Aaron and Melissa Klein, who had a bakery that they operated out in Oregon and were penalized for expressing their religious beliefs as a part of their business itself. And they have found themselves now penalized by the state of Oregon to the tune of six figures for expressing their religious beliefs at work. There are story after story of great cases throughout this country, and almost sometimes scary stories in this country about religious liberty being threatened and sometimes even taken away for simply expressing your religious beliefs. You can find it, we've split it up into four different categories, as a matter of fact. One is in the military. We've also looked at religious liberty in the public square, as well as in the schools and the churches and ministries themselves. So from a broad segment of society, throughout a lot of different parts of where we live and interact every day, you'll find that there are great stories in our publication to explain how religious liberty is, in fact, under attack and in need of a defense that we're happy to supply.
The man with the two doctorates that got fired, what was it he had said in the sermons that caused him to get fired? And I know in the case of Aaron and Melissa Klein, because I interviewed them, the rub there, the conflict was that Melissa Klein, in good conscience, they as bakers, Christian bakers, while serving anybody and everybody, they in good conscience could not celebrate a lesbian wedding by using their skills as Christian bakers to celebrate same-sex weddings. So that was the rub. That's where the conflict was. How about in the case with the man with the two doctorates?
Well, Dr. Walsh, as he put it, said, look, I've preached everything from Genesis to Revelation here, so if it's in the Bible, I've taught on it. And there were a lot of people that found a lot of disagreement with a lot of the things that he talked about, apparently. Everything ranging from human sexuality down to creation and everything else in between, including differences between certain denominations and faiths. And so it seemed like there was nothing off limits. But for an employer to simply rely upon or to use someone's sermons as a weapon against them to make employment decisions upon, well, that's illegal. You can't do that in this country. And that's exactly what the state of Georgia has done to Dr. Walsh, and for which we hope to hold them accountable.
Yeah, you guys are great when it comes to filing lawsuits, and you're very effective, too. Tell us about your win ratio.
Well, it's very kind of you to observe all that, Jerry. You know, we have a...
Well, I learned it from you.
Well, thank you. Though, look, thankfully, we've been able to partner with some extremely important and very smart attorneys throughout this country, along with the attorneys we have on staff here at First Liberty Institute. And as a result of that, we win over 9 out of the 10 cases that we get involved with. Over 90% of the cases that we take on at First Liberty, we win. And I should also point out that because of good people like those who listen to this show, we're able to provide that top-notch legal representation and those wins to our clients for free. We never charge them a dime.
And that's firstliberty.org for more information. By the way, that publication, Undeniable, is that something people could just get a copy for free? Or how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. You can download that at firstliberty.org. And I'm sure if you give us a call at First Liberty, and you can find that number at firstliberty.org, I'm sure we can arrange to send you a copy as well.
Okay. Let's focus on the Kleins, because that story just grates me in no way. I mean, in every way, actually. I mean, it's so sad. They're such a sweet couple. They've been reduced to, you know, they've lost so much just because they wouldn't make a cake. And to this day, I'm sure if the same circumstances presented themselves, they would do the same thing, because they would rather keep their conscience whole before Jesus Christ than do what is wrong in the eyes of God. But the state is punishing them in unbelievable ways. Tell us the story.
Well, fundamentally, what this case is going to determine is whether or not, as Americans, we're going to be able to operate our business according to our religious beliefs, or if we're going to be punished for disobeying the state and their versions of what we're supposed to believe in life. Aaron and Melissa operated a family business. It was a bakery. They had their kids there. They'd always take them there after school and hang out until dinner time when the shop closed. They had hoped to be able to turn that business over to their daughter at some point so that she would have the family business and carry that on.
Wow.
But they were asked to serve someone who they had served in the past with a different scenario, but they were asked to provide a wedding cake for a same-sex wedding, and they politely and very kindly refused. And then they found themselves in front of an administrative law judge on charges that they were engaged in discrimination for simply declining business that was not consistent with their religious beliefs. Fast forward kind of through that entire process, and you have the administrative law judge, kind of the investigator and the jury and the judge all rolled up into one. He issues a penalty against the Kleins for discrimination to the tune of $135,000. Now, the state of Oregon doesn't wait for the money to be paid by the clients. They just simply went into the client's bank account and cleared it all out of all the money that was in there, left them without a single dime in the bank account.
Oh.
Thankfully, the people across the country had been following this and had created a crowdsourcing fund for the clients. And they were able to then use that money, or at least some of it, to satisfy that judgment temporarily while we file this appeal. And so we've now taken this case over here in the last couple of weeks, and we will be pursuing an appeal of that decision by the administrative law judge. And frankly, it'll be the first time that the clients will ever get their day in court and be able to make an opportunity or make an argument to the court that it was unconstitutional, it was wrong and illegal for this administrative proceeding to penalize this couple for simply operating their business according to their religious beliefs.
They used to have the storefront bakery. Then they lost that. They were called haters. They have five children. The husband had to go back to driving a garbage truck just to put food on the table. But what would your comment be, Jeremy, if somebody said, yeah, but look, let's compare them to somebody in the Deep South during the Jim Crow era, saying to blacks, I'm sorry, but this is my private restaurant, and you know, black people are not welcome at this lunch counter. Sorry, you'll have to leave. Or, I mean, usually they wouldn't say it so nicely. What do you think about that comparison? Because that's really the comparison being made.
Yeah, and it's an unfair one. Here, look, Aaron and Melissa were here penalized by the state for simply engaging in their religious beliefs. In fact, they served this very person previously and would continue to serve this person and both individuals even today if they were able to have their shop open, perhaps. Look, what they were penalized for was their beliefs. Do we want a government in this country in which if you don't agree with the state and what the state believes, you are not only ostracized or made fun of? Those things we might be able to even handle on occasion, but more than that, the state is now punishing you with oppressive fines for not believing as they do. No, I think we want a much more inclusive society, a much more tolerant society, one that puts up with beliefs that may differ from one another and says, you know, that's a good thing. That's okay for us to do. The founding fathers put the First Amendment into place so that we would disagree with one another, that we would be able to have debates with one another, and that we would be able to, through those debates, pursue truth that would ultimately rise to the top. By short-circuiting that, by punishing beliefs that they don't agree with, the state of Oregon has sent a message across the country that you cannot come into public, and you certainly could not open a business and operate that according to your religious beliefs. They're wrong on that point. And we are looking forward to taking them into court, making that case, if we have to, all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States, and doing so with our lead counsel, Boyden Gray, the former ambassador to the European Union. I think we're going to have a good opportunity to make the case across this country that no one should be punished for simply operating their business or living their life according to their religious beliefs.
And going back, though, to that lunch counter example, wouldn't it be fair to say that, well, look, a black person can't change who they are, whereas when it comes to homosexuality, I mean, there's all kinds of people around who are now born again that used to practice that lifestyle. They no longer do, and they're grateful to Christ for that change. Even gays themselves talk about fluid sexuality and so forth, to change this and change that and so forth. So it's not the same, you know, one situation, you have somebody born that way. With the other person, there's not immutability at all.
Well, but it goes to what I said earlier, too, is that the Aaron and Melissa Klein served this couple. They were then punished for exercising their beliefs. And that's a very fundamental distinction. We can have a lot of debates about a lot of different topics and kind of get off the beaten path of what this kind of case is about and why this is so important. But at the end of the day, this couple was punished by the state of Oregon for running their business according to their religious beliefs. And that's absolutely wrong, and it's something that needs to be put to an end.
Now, I understand the state of Oregon even imposed on them a gag order. How could that work, that they were not allowed to speak about this issue?
Yeah, there are certain elements of their case that they're not able to talk about, and as their attorney, I can't even go into what those details are all about. But it's not enough for them to tell the state of Oregon to tell the clients that they can't express their religious beliefs as a part of their business. It's not enough to go into the bank account and clean all the money in it out. They have to then go forward and actually put a gag order on them and say, no, you can't even have a certain amount of free speech. You see, when the state begins to chip away at your first liberty, religious liberty,
yeah,
all the other rights and all the other privileges as being an American, all those are in jeopardy too.
This is a case we all should watch and pray for. And thank you so much, by the way, for all the great work you do. And the good thing about you guys, you have such a good track record of success. So just taking on the Klein story makes me feel good because it's like, oh, good, we're going to win this thing. Jeremy Dice, appreciate it. Appreciate all you do. FirstLiberty.org for more information. The publication we've been talking about, which includes the story about Aaron and Melissa Klein, is called Undeniable. Jeremy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
God bless now. Bye-bye.